please come to order.
Would the members please vote? Signify their presence. Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows all senators present this morning. Senator Vic Fisher is excused from the call but is present.
Do we stand for the invocation?
Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this fresh new day. We rejoice in a blank slate upon which to write untried events, reach out to novel relationships, and attempt to complete previously begun tasks. At the beginning of this particular day, we are aware, perhaps even painfully aware, of the scarcity of oil, coal, money, and the like. Help us to recognize that all material things are finite. Give us wisdom that we may be wise stewards of the earth's resources to benefit all people, both of our Alaska and this spaceship Earth. Open our eyes to the truth that abundant resources do exist, which never diminish, but are constantly increased and multiplied by our use of them. Fill us with those spiritual values of infinite magnitude. Bless us with love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. We ask all our prayers in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Does the Secretary certify as correctness of the Daily Journal?
I wish to certify as to correctness of the journal for the 58th legislative day.
All right.
Move that the journal for the 58th legislative day be approved as certified.
No objections, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction this morning? Do we have messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
Messages from the House?
There are no messages from the House.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, could we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Without objection.
Sorry, I didn't. I overlooked the list here. We have another group from Alaska, both of program students. When I call your names, would you please stand up and Counselor Judy Omer of Petersburg, Steve Bradshaw, the teacher, Lenny Ridley, Roger McKeon, Roy Russell, Anchorage, Maryland. Gomez, Laura Houston, Marcia Faye, Kathy Peterson, Kyra Pinkler, Lila Roberts, Frederick Wolfley, the teacher, Jerry Cox, Deborah Mannix, Leslie Evans, Bering Straits, Ed Packer, the teacher from Frederick Mission, Evelyn Rock, Frederick Mission, Warren Sinnott, Shishmara, Merle Apasehnog, Gamble, Debbie Bradley, Una Lafleet, from Craig Waldo Ewing, the teacher, Ellen Galeson, Stacy Vernon, Pribilof, David Sheffield, the teacher, David Shane, and Mike Dishman. Welcome to the Senate.
Welcome you here this morning. Are there other communications?
Communication from the Alaska Power Authority, March 11, subject Alaska Power Authority reporting requirements. In compliance with AS 4483, Section 200, the annual report is here attached for your review. The detailed project status report for those projects approved by the legislature is also attached. If you desire additional information, please feel free to contact me. Sincerely, Ray Benish, Director of Finance. That is the only communication.
Are there reports of standing committees?
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill No. 83, Court Leave for Non-Permanent and Temporary Employees of the State, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass with a zero fiscal note. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Sturgiluski, Kelly, and Rohde. SB 83 has a further referral to Finance.
Finance may wish to just look at that. Send it on.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill No. 97, supplemental appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for payment as a grant to Bethel Social Services, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Sackett, co-chairman, concurring, Senators Josephson, Vic Fisher, Mulcahy, and Ferguson. Senator Fake signed no recommendation. SB 97 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill Number 111, Use of Teleconferencing under the Administrative Procedure Act, and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title, a zero fiscal note, and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Rick Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Strzelewski, and Rohde. SB 111 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Labor and Commerce, March 14th, through Mr. President. The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee has had under consideration for sunset review the Board of Marine Pilots pursuant to your referral. In accordance with the statutory requirements, a public hearing was held on the review of this board. The committee considered the proposed budget of the board and examined the performance audit of the activities of the board prepared by the Legislative Audit Division. Guided in part by the report prepared by the Legislative Audit Division, the committee took into consideration the factors required to be considered under AS 446650. The Board of Marine Pilots has operated in the public interest by promulgating regulations which help assure that a state-licensed marine pilot has the experience, knowledge, and skill required for safe pilotage. The public is encouraged to attend the board meetings and express any concerns regarding the board's activities. In the past, the board has taken an active role in recommending statutory changes which would help assure safe pilotage of registered vessels. The attendance rate of the board members at the scheduled meeting is excellent and should be commended. The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee recommends that the Board of Marine Pilots be continued for another 4 years, i.e. until June 30, 1987. Sincerely, Senator Eliason, Chairman. Those are the standing committee reports.
Send that to the Rules Committee for appropriate action. Are there reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
There is a resolution for introduction this morning.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 20 by Senators Rohde, Paul Fisher, Ziegler, Halford, Strzelewski, Ferguson, Josephson, Vic Fisher, and Kurtula, supporting passage of H.R. 1176 and S. 137 in the Congress of the United States, amending the Internal Revenue Code to allow certain home mortgage bonds to continue to be tax exempt.
Commerce and Labor.
That is the only new resolution today.
Takes us to the daily calendar.
Mr. President, can we have a brief at ease, please?
We're at ease.
For us is the daily
calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 152, Finance, an act relating to the budget of the state and bills related to the budget, and merging the Division of Budget and Management, the Division of Policy Development and Planning, and the latter's Office of Coastal Management into one office, and providing for an effective date. This is in third reading.
The bill is in third reading. It's before you for discussion debate. Senator Halford, you wish the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 152 be returned to second reading for purposes of specific amendment.
Object.
Objection is noted. Senator Halford, has the specific amendment been distributed?
Yes, it has, Mr. President.
Did we have an adees? Back to order. Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I wonder if it would be within the chair's wishes to discuss the amendment previous to returning to second reading.
It would be. Senator Fakes has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. May we have a brief at ease at the call of the chair, please?
We'll have a 3-minute recess. Call the chair.
Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reason for the amendment to go back is to delete one section of Section 6, which I attempted to delete yesterday from this bill. If the majority of the members feel that need must be written into statute, I think it can be done without destroying existing programs, although I really haven't heard anyone defend a legislative proposal on the basis of anything other than need as a starting point. The final phrase, I think, is what damages those existing criteria programs, and I think it's very difficult to consider basic equity without looking at population and without looking at local effort. If you go to the criteria systems that are proposed or in place, the OMB criteria include how many people are benefited, can the community afford the program, what is the degree of community financial commitment, and what are the statewide equity considerations. It also considers alternative funding and how you can leverage those state funds. If you go to the DEC criteria system, which has been supported by the Municipal League, the Conference of Mayors, and local governments just about throughout the state, Their second criteria is local funding source. Their third criteria is, will the grant be used to match federal funds? The fourth criteria is population benefited. And it goes on to ask questions on the segments of the population benefited. If you go on to DOT, in looking at transit, their second criteria is total population to be served. And then they ask questions about population, elderly population, handicapped population, minority population, and so forth. I think it's also important to recognize that in many federal funding categories, population is an essential element, as is local effort. By adopting this amendment, we make it very difficult to pass through those federal funds. Yesterday, a nice-sounding defense of the separation of powers was made, but I simply couldn't follow the connection that it was our constitutional duty to divide state funds three ways and then parcel out portions to individual legislators. And I think that's the alternative to a criteria-based system. In going back to local governments, Juneau, Anchorage, Kenai, and Fairbanks were all reached by phone to ask what their concerns were, and they were very concerned about this section and how it affects the funding as it passes through to their communities. If need needs to stay in this section, then it certainly can. But the elimination of population, of federal funds, or local financial effort substantially damages our ability to equitably allocate state resources to the people of Alaska.
Senator Josephson.
Well, Mr. President, now we have a red herring that that the people who feel that the language is sufficient and balanced are against a criteria-based system. I reject that suggestion. Just to say a couple of sentences about this again, Mr. President, all that Section 6 asks is that the administration, in proposing its capital projects budget, evaluate state agency and local requests in the language of the section from the standpoint of need and give priority on the basis of need if, where applicable, a municipality or unincorporated community accepts the facility and all associated costs of the facility. Insofar as the phrase is concerned, which the Senator's amendment would delete, it is the intention of the section that needed projects will have priority over non-needed projects, even if the non-needed projects have such attractive considerations as population, local financial match, or available federal funds usable for local match. However, Mr. President, as between competing projects that are justified by the assessment of need, priority can be given on the basis of considerations such as population, local financial match, available federal funds usable for local match, or indeed any other criteria which the planning process may rationally take into account. Mr. President, we stated that yesterday as the intention of the Finance Committee. As a matter of legislative history, since the Finance Committee is the source of the language, it would seem to me that our interpretation as a committee of what the section means should be given great weight and would be given great weight either by a court or by the administration in implementing the section. There really is no need to belabor this, and I believe that it is something that everybody can live with. And we are only trying to establish the priority of need as the basic criterion. And instead of having an irrational division in which there is no assessment, we are trying to do the opposite and impose a rational assessment.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, the Senator from Eagle River made reference to the local governing body in Juneau being concerned about this. I'm astonished if they are concerned, because they certainly haven't notified me. Perhaps he talked to some buddy down there that sweeps the floors or something, but the people that are really important, the city manager, city attorney, the mayor, or the members of the assembly, none of them have contacted me.
We have allowed full range of debate on the substance on a motion to return to second reading. We'll continue this, but please be assured that it is not intentionally precedent-setting. You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't know what the function of the city manager at Juneau is, so I couldn't respond directly to the comments of the senator from Juneau. However, I would ask the speaker from downtown Anchorage if this amendment is intended to or would change any of the criteria in the existing DEC program or the proposed criteria in the OMB criteria system or in the DOT criteria system.
Well, Mr. President,
In order to answer that, I would have to have the senator read those again. If the senator wishes to take the time of the Senate to do that, he may do so. The only point we are trying to make is this. There was a feeling that in the capital projects planning process, conditions of need might be ignored or have historically been ignored because of these other criteria in which non-needed projects are funded. We are trying to avoid that. It is a threshold question. Is the project needed? Once you cross that threshold, of course you can take all of these matters into account. I heard the senator. I tried to listen carefully when he spoke of federal funding because, of course, that would be a concern if that was a problem. And I must say, with all respect, I was not persuaded. I intend to vote against returning the measure to second reading.
Question is, shall we return to second reading for the purpose of specific amendment? You have the floor, Senator.
Question of the chair. In essence, what this vote would represent would be a vote against the amendment rather than returning to second reading for.
Yes. Well, yesterday, the privileges of the Senate to go to third reading so that this type of amendment would also have a possibility of going back to second reading in the next succeeding day were not allowed. So it is at my position that I'm going to vote against returning it to second reading. The question is, shall we turn to second reading for purpose of specific amendment? You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
Roll shows 8 yeas, 12 nays.
We failed to return. Before us for discussion and debate, Senate Bill 152.
Question.
Question is called for. Question is, shall Senate Bill 152 be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 14 yeas, 6 nays.
Senate Bill 152 has passed the Senate. Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would move that the vote on the measure be to consider the roll call and effective date clause.
Objection, so ordered. Effective date clause has been adopted. Secretary, read the citation calendar.
Citations honoring Rosie Barr, selected as a participant in the Youth for Understanding in the Japan U.S. Senate Scholarship Program by Senator Ferguson and Representative Adams. A citation honoring Dorothy Jones, resignation from Alaska Commission on the Status of Women by Senators Vic Fisher and Fahrenkamp. In memoriam, Mrs. John Nanny Winther by Senator Ray and Representative Duncan.
Senator Joseph,
if the co-sponsors would consent, I would like my name shown as a sponsor of the citation honoring Dorothy Jones.
Without objection. Senator Sturgiolowski.
Yes, can I ask consent to be added with the consent of the sponsor?
Without objection. Senator Kelly.
Same request, Mr. President.
Senator Kelly, Senator Sturgiolowski, Senator Joseph. Senator Ray.
There are no other additions. I move the citation calendar be approved as read.
Objection. Citation calendar has been adopted. We will have a joint session, as you know, called to order at 11. Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I think it should be noted, and I don't know how you want to handle this, but there was a title change on 152.
Senator Ray, would you move the title change?
Yes, sir. I move the title change on committee substitute for 152 finance be adopted.
Being no objection, ordered. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in recess till the call of the chair for purposes of a leadership caucus.
I object,
Senator Ray.
Just to remind them of the members that we are meeting in joint session at 11.
We're recessed. To messages from the House, there is a subject vital to, the timing is vital to this subject, gentlemen and ladies. Please proceed.
Message from the House, March 16, 1983. The House passed CS for Senate Joint Resolution No. 7, Resources, Imposition of a Halibut Moratorium and the Establishment of a Share System for Halibut in Alaska with the following amendment. House CS 4CS pursuant joint resolution number 7, resources, and return for consideration.
Were there a motion to adopt the House amendments, Senator Wright?
To adopt the House amendments?
Or, please, make the proper motion.
Move that the Senate concur with the House amendments to committee substitute for Senate joint resolution 7, resources, and ask the body to vote yes.
Question is, can we have it on the board? We'll be at ease. We're at ease. For the body is the motion for the Senate to concur in the House amendments to Senate joint resolution number 7. Are you ready for the question?
Call the
question. The roll call vote. Question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will close the roll.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 3 nays.
So the Senate has concurred in the House amendments. Are there any other items under finished business? You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 152, but Mr. President, I would point out that that's for the consideration of a letter of intent that is taken directly from Senator Josephson's explanation of Section 6 to the Governor's office. If that could be taken up at this time, I would withdraw the reconsideration, whatever the will of the body is.
Senator Josephson.
Mr. President, the Senator is correct. I did communicate with the Office of the Governor at its request on Section 6, and I read from the communication when I debated the matter this morning. The letter of intent quotes from that material and is consistent with the testimony, or with the debate, and has only two paragraphs in it. Insofar as the language, notwithstanding considerations such as population, local financial match, or federal funds being used for local match in Section 6 is concerned, it is the intention of the section that needed projects will have priority over non-needed projects, even if the non-needed projects have such attractive considerations as population, local financial match, or available federal funds usable for local match. However, as between competing projects that are justified by an assessment of need, priority can be given on the basis of considerations such as population, local financial match, available federal funds usable for local match, or other criteria which the planning process may rationally take into account. It's been requested that this be a letter of intent, and I have no objection.
I would recommend that we hold it over, the letter of intent be drafted on everybody's desk and adopted tomorrow as a letter of intent, preferably of the Rules Committee or the Committee of Initial Reference. Are there further items on unfinished business? Announcement of committee meeting, Senator.
Well, how are we going to do that legally unless we hold a reconsideration over till tomorrow?
Yes, we will have to hold it over till tomorrow. He gave notice of his intent to reconsider. The bill was reconsidered.
We can't withdraw the reconsideration, so we have to continue with that. So if we can just hold a reconsideration over till tomorrow. I move and ask unanimous consent we hold the reconsideration.
It's automatic.
Automatic, all right.
Just not be taken up at this time.
His notice of reconsideration was given. It's not taken up this time, is it not?
We did take it up at that time.
No, we don't.
Well, House Senate, please come to order. Senator Halford.
Mr. President, I gave notice of reconsideration and indicated my intent to withdraw that notice if we wanted to take up the letter of intent at this time. So notice of reconsideration will bring the bill back before us in third reading tomorrow.
That is correct. It is before us tomorrow automatically. Are there announcements of committee meetings? Resources Chairperson.
Mr. President, Resources Committee will meet at 4 o'clock in the Belts Room.
Resources Committee at 4. Rules Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Special Committee on Legislative Rules Reform scheduled for tomorrow at noon has been canceled.
Further, we are so improved. Are there further announcements of committee meetings? Are there announcements? Items under special orders? Senator Ray? Senator Kelly?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent I be excused the call of the House from March 21st through March 25th, if in fact the trip that I'm planning takes place on state business.
Without objection, so ordered.
invited to the White House.
Senator Ray?
There's no other invitations outstanding. I move we adjourn till...
10?
Thursday, March 17th at 10 a.m.
We are adjourned. Long day's journey...